Grant us, Lord, not to be anxious about earthly things, but to love things heavenly. Jesus' parables are hard to understand sometimes. Today's, for example, seems to be saying that to be dishonest is a good thing, that cheating your boss is to be commended, that the important things in life are security and being sharp in dealing with others. Acquiring wealth in Jesus' day was thought to be dishonest because it required a sharp dealing person. You cheated others to get money. That was the way it was. But Jesus told them a parable about a manager that had been stealing from his boss, the landowner. The manager, after being fired to save himself from poverty, works some sharp arrangements with those who are in debt to his boss. He lowers what the debtors have to pay by cutting his, the manager's, commission on the transactions that he has arranged. He is not stealing from his boss at this point. He is cutting his own commissions. Because of this sharp arrangement, the landowner compliments him for acting shrewdly. The manager is preparing for his future. The debtors are happy because they don't have to pay as much. The landowner is happy because he's gotten rid of the manager and has increased his standing in the eyes of the debtors because they can see what a merciful man he is. But the point of the parable, according to Jesus, is in these lines. If then you have not been faithful with dishonest money, who will entrust you to true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? Jesus says, don't steal, and to look for the true riches. Don't steal. We understand that if we hold up a bank or mug someone, that action is wrong. Wrong by our cultural rules and by our Christian beliefs. But if we don't hurt someone, is it okay to steal? What if no one's watching? What if we don't agree with how our taxes are being used? Can we shave a little here or there because we can get away with it? Is it wrong to steal our kids' futures by spoiling the environment so we can live better today? Is it wrong to pay wages that don't allow the worker to feed his family? Because everyone keeps the wages as low as they possibly can, how else can our business survive? What does it do to our souls when we do these things? My wife and I got to see Macbeth several weeks ago at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. I love Macbeth. It has good sword fights and ghosts and witches. Every time we see the play, each director interprets it differently. Most of the plays have the witches come to Macbeth to foretell what's going to happen, and then they disappear. They're not a part of the play otherwise. Most plays emphasize the relationship between Macbeth and his wife. But in this version we saw, the witches were on stage from scene one all the way through to the end. They were either in front as main characters or in the back as if they were influencing from behind the scenes. It was very well done. Some people think Shakespeare wrote the witches into the play because the King of England at that time, James I, believed in witches. Witches were believed to be able to influence our actions. We didn't have to own up to our own culpability in things. If something went wrong that we didn't understand, or if we wanted to blame others for what went wrong, we would call them witches. Our lust for money and wealth can be like those witches. Up front on occasion, where we can control our need and use for money, but also in the background sometimes, directing us into evil in our lives. So what are the true riches? What are the true riches that we need to search for if money is not the top value in our lives? How about developing more gratitude, more compassion? A new book out called Emotional Success by David DiStino presents studies and commentaries showing that the development of gratitude and compassion in our working and daily lives actually benefits our individual and community health by reducing loneliness in our relationships and building cooperation in our actions. Now, I'm not a fan for self-help books generally because most fads blow like the wind. But I like any idea that can help to reduce loneliness in our lives. Developing gratitude and compassion in our dealings with others creates a moral character and draws friends to us. Do we think the dishonest steward in Jesus' parable is going to get people to invite him into their homes if he continues to cheat them? Building gratitude is simple. Just say thank you. Say thank you every day for what someone has done for you. Count your blessings. Now this morning the kids came up and did a little presentation for us, which I didn't know was going to happen. They sang the song about the animals, and it was very pretty about the animals being worms and everything and how we can be true to ourselves. But they said thank you during the whole song. It was really kind of neat. I'll have to teach that to the choir. Count your blessings. It really works. Compassion is strengthened by looking for commonalities rather than differences. For instance, driving on the freeways can be a real pain if you're out to get ahead of that bugger who cut you off. Can you think of the other driver as someone who is, like you, late for work or late for church? If you can, then compassion kicks in. Pausing to take the time to look for links with others is well worth the effort. Searching for true riches in our lives is not giving up on all that we have. It means focusing on loving others by giving thanks and by helping others. It can mean more and deeper friends, less loneliness, and happier lives. The witches can be dismissed to the back of the stage. Amen.